You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, it's me, Russell Peters. This episode has two of my very good friends, Rick Fox, the pretty boy of basketball, and Joey Medina, the English bulldog-looking Puerto Rican. Anyway, Rick Fox, what can I say about him? He's a three-time NBA championship winner, an actor. He got to have babies with Vanessa Williams, and now he's playing August Fox on the CBS show All Rise. I mean, he's the kind of guy when he comes to your house, you kind of hope he doesn't come to your house. Because if your wife is home, she's going to start thinking about other guys. Anyway, let's talk about my friend Joey Medina, the lesser looking of the two. That's right, I said it, and I'm not afraid to say it. He's one of the original Latin kings of comedy. He's a writer, actor, director, and one of the freshest comedians around. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean because I didn't write that. Listen, he was a professional boxer who turned comic eventually, and he's very good at what he does. So he was a decent boxer, but he's an even better comic and an even better human being. Love this guy. We talk about Pelotons and health shakes. We talk about strip clubs. We talk about parenting. We have a cigar. I made Rick Fox have a cigar. That's right. I'm trying to get this guy ugly as soon as I can. Welcome to another episode of Culturally Canceled, hosted by me, Russell Peters. Well, I guess it is my podcast. I don't know why it's hosted by me. I guess if it's my podcast, it would be hosted by me. And today we have hanging out with us a very funny comedian, a good friend of mine. I took this man all over the world with me, and we're good friends, we're brothers. It's Mr. Joey Medina, one of the Latin kings of comedy.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you for having me.
And Joey, and we'll talk about this, Joey was also was a professional boxer at one point. And sitting across from myself and Joey is my youngest daughter. She's beautiful. former Mr. America. How many rings do you got?
Oh,
not wedding.
Including my wedding. Three plus one wedding.
Three NBA World Championship rings.
I got to keep the wedding ring.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, that's nice. That was nice. We have my Canadian homeboy, Mr. Ulrich Alexander Fox, with me today.
I appreciate you using the full name. Yeah. A lot of people don't.
We got to keep it very
West
Indian.
Don't know who that is. Yeah,
got to keep it Caribbean.
Yes.
Rick Fox is the American guy. Ulrich is his Canadian name.
I've been in this country long enough. Jeez. Yeah, it's like some 35 years now, man.
Really?
Hell yeah.
You came here at 15, 16?
Came here at 15, man.
Wow.
Never left.
Wait, you left Toronto. You were born in Toronto.
I was born in Toronto, yeah. From what I understand, St. Catherine Street at the Salvation Army Hospital.
Salvation Army Hospital.
Yeah, it was a Salvation Army Hospital.
I'm going to have to call some people back home and find out what I was born.
What the hell was going on there?
I was born at Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai?
On University.
Okay. Oh, you celebrity.
It was new Mount Sinai then.
New Mount Sinai.
Now it's definitely not new. It's 50 years old at least.
I've never been to Toronto. Toronto is like the New York of Canada, right?
Correct.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's what it looks like every time I see it.
It's the New York of Canada. It's the... It's like a clean New York. They substitute Toronto for Chicago, New York.
Yeah, especially in Hollywood.
They double
it all the time.
They double it all the time.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that movie with Jackie Chan, Rumble in the Bronx?
Hell yeah.
Dude, I love. I'm from the Bronx, right? And I remember watching that going, hey, there's no mountains in the Bronx.
Yeah, that was shot in Vancouver. Yeah, that was Vancouver.
It was the worst. Well, they spray painted a couple of like prop, you know.
Garbage cans?
Yeah, garbage cans and mailboxes. And that was it. That was the Bronx to them.
That was the first time I saw Jackie Chan was Rumble in the Bronx, I think.
Yeah, that was
like in his first, like, that was in the 80s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember there was a scene because he couldn't speak English properly. He was like, why are you guys doing this? Don't you know you are better than cabbage? He was supposed to say garbage, but he said cabbage. Don't you know you are better than cabbage?
Well, I guess it works that way too, right? Better than garbage and cabbage.
How quick did he get into the Rush Hour movies?
Oh, he would, dude, he's like, been around since the 70s.
Right, okay, so he had a run and then he...
He was already a huge star in Hong Kong and China and in Asia. But he was, he didn't need to do it. He was like, why? He said people have been approaching him for years about doing American movies. And Brett Ratner told me the story of how he got Jackie Chan in the movie. He said he went and flew to South Africa to go meet up with him. And he told Jackie, look, I read the script. It's not the best script. It's probably the worst script I've ever read in my life. But I think that you, me, and Chris Tucker can make this a phenomenal film. And he said that's why Jackie Chan did the movie with him. Because he was the only guy that came to him and didn't go, this is the best thing. It's going to explode your career. He was like, he went the complete opposite. When Jackie was like,
smart.
I think you're very smart.
Very smart.
You're not cabbage. We're all having cigars right now while we're doing this. We'll eventually start doing the video to these podcasts, but I'm sure people want to see what's happening.
Well, I want to say I'm glad there's no video today because I am an amateur cigar smoker still. This is probably my third or fourth cigar. No, it's probably fifth cigar. Three, I smoked one every time we won a championship.
Oh, nice.
And I had one here a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And now this is probably the fifth one. And each time I feel safer smoking them with Russell because he's a professional.
It's something relaxed. Like I don't smoke weed. I don't do anything. But anytime I've smoked a cigar, it's just nice and chilling, and then you have a nice drink with it sometimes, and it just works well.
Yeah, it just puts you in a takes.
Yeah,
it just cuts the edge off a little. And I guess, you know, the real reason we don't want the cameras on you is not your cigar prowess. It's the fact that you're growing this beard, but you refuse to line it up.
When
I grow a beard, which grows hourly, I put a line on the cheeks. Like I take the T blade, line it up, then I clean that up so it looks.
You also went back to work this week too, though.
No, but
you went with the presentable. You got a haircut. You did everything.
No, here's the thing, Rick. You're a pretty man. You can get away with doing ugly guy things.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, I have not cut my hair. I may have shaved maybe three times in COVID. My beard got as long as it's ever been.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was the strangest feeling.
It's itchy, dude. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Like where you're at right now is a little too much for me, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I was at a couple of days ago.
I never line my shit up like that. I either cut it all off or it just.
I'm just going to line you up before you leave.
All right, okay, cool.
I'm just going to give you a little. And you're going to be like, oh.
Yeah, because the eyebrows and the cheekbones about to connect.
Yeah, you're about to get like curtains over your eyes from your eyebrows and your cheekbones connect.
For real.
Remember that movie that back in the day, that exploitation film, Blackula? He had that. His
sideburn
went all the way up to his cheeks. Like they all connected.
Do you remember Blackula?
I remember it. I don't remember who played Blackula.
But you know what's even better than that? Joey made a movie a few years ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember? He made a movie called Wet Bacula.
Oh, no, I wrote the script. Yeah, Wet Bacula.
Wet Bacula?
It was about a Hispanic
Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula, who's in this country illegal.
Where can I find it?
Dude, are you as soon as I make it.
Okay, got
He's
it.
He's got the script.
Okay, yeah, right. It's hilarious, though. It's way over the top.
Let's fucking go get Jackie Chan.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
Jackie.
And instead of turning this character, instead of turning into a bat, he turns to a rooster. So,
got it.
He's the cock of the walk.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a cock joke for the roosters. Anybody, if anybody's listening. Do you like how we have like these moments and then they just die and then we got to go reset?
That's because we're all smoking.
We all took a drag at the same time.
Yeah, that's what editing's for, though. It's good. No. Fine.
Even Paulie smoking a cigar in the back over there.
Tell me what it was like going to Florida.
It was interesting because I hadn't been on stage in a while. Sorry, my daughter's calling me.
Answer that shit.
I'm in the backyard doing a podcast. So when you get here, come around. Uncle Eddie's here. So just I'll leave the garage open for you. Okay, baby? Labu.
My calls with my 20-year-old daughter now go like, hey, Dad, how are you? What are you doing? Just like waking up or something. So I'm looking at a new apartment. Or I saw this Tesla.
I'm looking to you for a new apartment.
Yeah, I'm looking to you. So
how much do you still support your kids?
I'm in the 50-50 mode now.
Okay.
They come up with 50% of it.
You'll help them.
I get the other 50%, which was cut out a lot of unnecessary requests.
Good, good.
Most of the requests now are kind of staples of existence. Roof over your head, transportation.
Groceries.
But they both work and they make a living for themselves. They're still in their 20s though.
Was there a time in their like early teens, like my daughter's 10.
Yeah.
So let's say around there where you're like, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it was difficult because my son, I was hoping he'd go into the family business, which at the time was basketball.
Oh, or marrying Miss America.
Marrying Miss America's. But he did not. He tried every sport. I threw him into every sport you could throw
He's not an athletic kid.
He's very athletic. Just doesn't like competition. He's a pacifist. He just doesn't. I put him in football. He was the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman. He literally, first play of every game, he'd bust through the line, either sack the quarterback or bust through the line, and they'd run for a touchdown behind him or something. And then he would just shut down for the rest of the game. And it was an event for him. One event every quarter, every round, every half, whatever, and that was it.
Hmm.
And I just realized it wasn't for him.
He's a thinker,
a little too much.
How tall is he now?
6'3".
Oh, so he's little.
Yeah, he's little compared to me, yeah.
You're 6'.
6'7".
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm having a 5'11 day.
Yeah, but, just about. But he.
By the way, Courtney's sitting with us. She's our producer here, and I don't want to ignore Courtney because I feel like Courtney should be involved.
Who else came on?
Last week or 2 weeks ago? When was it? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? It was a little while ago. A couple of weeks ago, it was me, Smooth B, from Nice and Smooth.
Nice and
Lord
Smooth.
Lord Finesse and Kango Kid.
Yeah.
So we were talking hip hop that day.
Yes, yes.
And we had some great stories.
I mean, if you want to talk hip hop, we can talk hip hop.
We can always talk hip hop.
Always talk hip hop. If you want to talk basketball, we can.
We're going to go down whatever road we feel like going down.
So I walk in and get my breaking news from Monk over here. The Harden was traded. And I'm thinking to myself, well, shit, that makes sense. I mean, he did get on camera last night and tell the Houston Rockets organization to go fuck themselves.
Did he?
Yeah, basically. He told them, you guys suck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like, you guys suck, and I'm done here.
Did he know that he was traded by then?
That was the button that pushed it over the top. He tried to do it in a politically correct fashion. He went from
I thought he was in
showing
Chicago.
Up late. I think he was in Vegas or some.
No. Wasn't preseason. He playing for Chicago first?
No, he was in Oklahoma City, and he got traded to Houston.
You know why? Because the Houston colors are now similar to
okay. There you go.
If you're not a basketball guy like myself.
Right, right. You mean you don't want to talk about the Raptors and their championship success?
I don't want to keep rubbing it into everybody's face.
Yeah.
But we did win during the regular years.
But anyway, just your news flash. Harden got traded to the Nets of all places, which is ridiculous.
So now they're going to be a powerhouse, right? On paper?
Yeah, if Kyrie Irving ever comes back to work. I guess he's been...
I bought a pair of his sneakers.
Irving's? Kyrie?
Yeah.
Are you a sneakerhead?
I like sneakers, but they have to look right and be comfortable. I don't just buy them because they're the hot sneaker.
Just to show them off. That's not your thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I never got into that either.
You probably get free shit. Did you have a sneaker?
I had a sneaker contract. I didn't have a sneaker that was named after me.
You should have got a deal with Travel Fox.
Who were they?
Oh my God. They were huge in the 80s.
Yeah.
The Jamaicans loved them.
Okay.
It was a very West Indian thing.
Like canvas?
No, they were like these leather sneakery, dress shoe sneaker type of thing. And
can we bring them back?
We should. Like it's about time that it should make the revival.
Oh,
because
shit.
Troop,
old is new.
Yeah, because Troop and LS and Lotto and all that shit's coming back.
Yeah.
So
shit, Puma came back. Shit, Jay-Z picked that up out of the trash. And yeah. Was like, hey, how about Puma?
Travel Fox. You're on Travel Fox. And now we're Travel Fox.
Yeah, that's very Jamaican right
now. Yeah. And I remember when I worked at the shoe store, my friends came by. This is going to sound, am I still incriminated if it's like 30 years later?
I think there's statute of limitations over, and you're
my
also
friends
in,
came to
in
the
another
store
country. So.
Yeah, they were, came to the shoe store I was working at, and it was like, yo, Russell, you can't remember these Travel Fox? And I was like, so I went, I go, yeah, all right, here's what's going to happen. I go, I'll bring the sneakers. I brought the sneakers out, let them try it on, and then I went to the back to go get another size, finger quotes, and when I came back, they were gone. And then I waited about 2-3 minutes, and I was like, hey, ran to the manager, hey, those two guys just stole those shoes. Oh my God, what is the world we're living in?
Yeah, right. I got a picture of the Travel Foxes here.
Let me see.
Yeah, man.
There's a white pair that looks better.
They're like, what's
they're almost like Gucci new? Colors.
I almost want to say, who's the guy that's killing it now?
He's, oh, they look like Zanotti. They look like Zanotti.
Yeah, a little bit. Did he reach back in this
probably
bag of Google searches? They're not bad, man. I'd wear these today.
Yeah, you should get a deal with Travel Fox. Rick Travel Fox.
I wonder who was behind him. I wonder who owns the brand still.
How many traveling violations did you get playing basketball?
Not very many, man.
I don't know if you're the guy.
Yeah. Won't be able to say.
Who was a notorious traveler?
In the NBA. Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, okay. I see the white ones. Yeah, they got
never
white.
The white
they
ones?
Got yellow. Those fuckers are nice, aren't
these
they?
Are, yeah. These aren't even the ones I remember. The ones I remember are low cut. They have them on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get them. That means there's still somebody's still making them,
do you
huh?
Remember, do you remember? I don't. These were big in New York. I don't know if they were big in Canada. Pro Keds? Do you remember?
Yeah,
Pro
I remember those white and green ones, the Pro Keds.
Yeah, they had different colors and they had the two.
I have a pair of Pro Keds upstairs.
Pro Keds are dope, man.
Jazzy Jeff had a deal with them a few years ago and he gave me the special edition Jazzy Jeff Pro Keds. I got them in my closet upstairs.
Shit, they only make them up to 12, man. See, that's the problem with
you. What size are you?
15, man.
Yeah, me too.
It's like you can't, Rick, never make shoes for big guys, man.
You grew up in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Fold your fucking toes under.
Yeah, that's my sister. I hope she doesn't listen to the podcast. The one person I hope
nobody's
listen
listening
to, the podcast,
to, don't worry about it.
My sister used to crack, man, because she would always.
Was she tall too?
She would, yeah, she's six two.
God damn.
But she would curl her toes up in her shoes.
Yeah,
because
she had big ass hooves.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, she wears size 12.
Is she pretty?
She's really 13. Yeah, she's gorgeous. Yeah, pretty good. Just got married.
Okay.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's going on with you, Joe?
You know, nothing, because comedy's dead now. But, no, I mean, the good thing about this is you know, because I write and produce and do some other stuff. I stay busy with that, but comedy is just slow as hell. You know, I was working on a game show and that got.
Oh yeah, Joey was one of the writers on Funny You Should Ask.
Okay,
you know, that show it's on every day.
Yeah.
And that was fun, but it's the show's still on, but the work is gone. So.
Oh my God, I was watching it the other day, and this is going to sound terrible, and they're both my friends. I don't want them to feel bad about this, but Louis Anderson was sitting in the front row, and Carolyn Ray was sitting in the row behind him, and the way they had cut to them, I couldn't tell which one was Louis Anderson.
Oh my God, you know what? Okay, this is...
Was this Match Game?
No, Funny You Should Ask.
It was on...
You know the show?
Yeah, but it was on that show day, because I do a couple shows with them too.
Oh really?
A bit on like the, you know, different ones. So,
but everybody says that like in the studio, they're like, "Oh my God, she looks like a female Louis." That's so sad.
Louis looks like a female Louis.
Yeah. That's right.
Smoking a cigar through this mask is pretty hard.
Yeah. know what? No, the smoke actually helps. Like if you have any bug, because I saw this.
Oh really?
Yeah. Smoke actually kills if you have the virus in your nose or in your throat.
Really?
It kills it. Yeah.
But you're not supposed to inhale a cigar.
No, I know, but it's still in your mouth. So it's like.
Now you tell me.
Yeah. You're wondering why the room's spinning. What is this big bucket of green shit you got in front of you?
My attempt at health in the new year. I do this body reset shit. It's like it's a breakfast shake.
How many
lunch
of those
shake.
You have to do?
It's three of them.
A day.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. I do it for like 14 days.
No food at all?
No. I eat some food. Look, I'll eat these pistachios. These look good.
Yeah, so, that's good.
Yeah. But it's, for the most part, kind of just reset and cleansing system. So
I could do that, I think. 14. I don't know if I could do that, but I think I...
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think it's necessary to do that. You know?
Yeah, I think you would.
The celery juice is a lot easier. Isn't that? It cleans out your liver pretty good, though.
I've done that for a little bit. Yeah, I've tried that.
When I was fighting, I used to do a colonic every month. And that really does make a difference, man. It helps you with your weight and it just cleans your skin and you just feel fresh all the time.
I don't know. I've done a colonic once and I felt really gross after. And then they did the ear candling, but they used it was so annoying. They used garlic oil.
Yeah.
And I was like, every time I scratched my ear, I just smelled garlic.
So I got into, I was dating a young lady out here probably 10 years ago, and she found this guy, Dr. Bo Wagner. I'll never forget him. And his whole thing was colonics. But he would have you do them for like 7 days.
In a row?
Yeah. Every day you came in. Oh, and that's a lot. But and you didn't eat for 2 weeks.
Wait, what do you mean?
You didn't eat food. You ate like a mix of this shake thing he had.
Mm-hmm.
And
that would just clean you right
out. Yeah, bro. You drop like 20 pounds in 2 weeks easily.
But then you gain it right back.
Well, but then you work your way slowly back into eating healthier. And eventually you put it back on if you're not careful. But it is. It was a good reset, though. I tell you that much. It was the first time in my life like I thought I could see different.
Were you doing the 7-day colonics?
I did it once, yeah. It was bananas, bro.
And you feel the difference, right?
You feel the difference. Oh yeah, your system.
I just felt. I don't like that feeling of the water shooting. It's not even it's shooting into your butt. You can feel it shooting into your stomach.
Yeah, no, it's a weird feeling. Yeah. I mean, it's not pleasurable.
Yeah,
not anything where you're like, ooh, I like this. It's not that.
You're like, I think I'm gonna shit, and they're like, that's fine. But just wait. And you're like, what do you mean wait?
But it's so funny that the woman that was used to give me mine. I would flirt with her all the time and ask her out. And it's funny as she's in my ass with this tube. And I'm like, yeah, so what are you doing next week? You know, I'm like,
she's like, let me tell you what you're going to be doing in an hour.
It's funny. This is a true story. I go like this. We were talking about like where to eat. I go, yeah, and I love seafood. She goes, yeah, I know. I can tell.
Oh fuck. Hilarious.
By the way, Joey, take the lobster tail out of the tail. You don't have to eat the whole shell, you fucking degenerate.
She really said that. I was like,
well, at least you had a female doing yours. My 72-year-old man, doctor.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it was more uncomfortable for Rick because the guy had both his hands on his shoulders.
And he had a little bit of Parkinson's, so it was it's like, look, it's an in and out, in and out.
It's touch and go.
Yeah, I was 40 years old. It was some of the best shape I was in my life, though.
Well, that's what happens at 40 years old.
Yeah, right.
I think we could still get it back, our generation.
I'm trying right now, bro. I'm 51.
It's harder than
55?
55, yeah. But once you do it, though, I think once you get in shape and you're older, you look amazing.
Yeah,
my uncle he won Mr. Universe in 1980. His name was Carlos Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
And he would tell me that. He would say, he goes, if you look at young bodybuilders, they look good. there's something missing. He goes, but when you look at a mature bodybuilder, he's complete. Like, he's just, his body knows how to look better and feel better. You know what I mean? So we have hope.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with it, man. I jumped on this Peloton bike shit. I got on it for like 100 miles this weekend and damn near killed myself.
What class do you do? The 30-minute class?
I usually do like a 30, do two 30s, depending on...
one in the morning, one in the evening?
No, I try to knock them out back to back, but it's easier to do it that way. Like you say, break it up, but...
Is there not a one-hour class?
Yeah, they got a 45-minute, and they got an hour class, 6-minute classes. But for me, it was... I got in there and I just, you fall into the community and people are encouraging you and you get into the instructors. Some of them are very motivational and funny in some cases. Sometimes they look really good so that you feel like you're chasing them.
Can they see you back?
They can see you back if you turn on your, cause you can have a camera.
Classes are live?
Yeah, some of them are live. Some of them are on demand.
Oh, I thought they were on demand because I was sitting there cursing the girl out in one of them. My girl was on it, and I'm like, who's that? That bitch is annoying. She was like, I know. I want to get rid of her. And I'm like, I hope this is recorded.
Oh, they can hear you.
Oh, shit.
Oopsie.
and so when I got into it, though, a bunch of the women saw my name because I just put X Fox Rick on there.
Mm-hmm. That'll give the whole
thing. That'll give it away. But you know,
that's not an accident to put it that way.
and so you know, look, man, I've been in my house a long time alone, so I figured I'd get some video chat through Peloton. Yeah. There's worse things. So I started to get a lot of followers, and
a couple of them follow you.
Yeah, and then they start talking shit to you though. Because as soon as they recognize you're like, oh, that's the best and so one lady,
you're a professional athlete.
1,000% is what I got coming at me, man. One lady like busted my ass on the leaderboard and then posted it on Instagram and tagged me and was like, yeah, I just did the 30-minute class and I got 450 something other output and Rick Fox only got 350. Like, oh my god, he needs to do better. Yeah. Right? And I was like, what? Yeah. So I took the next week and like trained and Saturday showed up and I showed up again
and
I was
off.
Like, fucking went at it, dude. I posted the shit, beat personal best, beat her because I was looking for a name. I was like, where were you? I went back on the damn Instagram. I was like, it looks like you were missing the day. Like, I talked so much trash, you would have thought I was in the NBA, bro. It's good. She came back at me a week later and was like, I woke up on Saturday morning past, and I saw on Instagram, she was like, so I'm about to do 100 miles on this Pelafondo today.
Pelafondo?
Yeah, it's called Pelafondo. She's like, Rick Fox could never.
Wow.
Posted me. Bro, I woke up. I saw this shit. I went and found I bought an extra pair of new white super rep Nike, cycling shoes. I pulled them out. I wrote her name on the side of that damn pair of shoes. I put the amount of miles I was going to do. And I was like, bitch, I got you. I'm coming. I got 2 hours in on Saturday night. Went to sleep. Woke up the next day. I was like, oh, shit, I got 80 miles still to go.
Oh, wow.
I rode for 6 hours, dude.
To do 100 miles?
Just to be able to say I did it. And for the next 48 hours, I didn't leave my bed.
Yeah, because you couldn't walk.
I thought I was going to die, dude.
Yeah, you can't walk.
No, you can't. It was crazy. And so when you talk about getting back into it and like if it's in there somewhere, I thought that was the end.
Dude, yeah, I started boxing again.
What was your weight when you fought for the championship?
I was 128 and a half pounds. I was a junior lightweight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was a lightweight champion.
Would people get knocked out at 128? Knock you out still, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Yeah, you just get hit hard, man. Wow. You get knocked out.
Some guys can bang it that way.
Oh, wow.
Look at Gervonta.
I don't know him.
Gervonta Davis, Davis?
He's a hitter.
Yeah. This kid can bang. He's little.
I started 130. You were 128. Did you go up in weight over the years?
Yeah, my normal weight was probably, street walking was probably about 150 at the time.
150 and you go down to 128 to fight?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you get down? How do you get down 20 just, pounds for a fight?
Train hard and diet. A lot of dieting. But I was more of a lightweight.
Yeah.
But I had an opportunity to fight for the super featherweight title. When I fought for that, I had to go down to 130.
Yeah.
And I had a strict, all I ate for that fight was, for breakfast, I would have Melba toast, slice of tomatoes, and tea, and at night I would have like a lean cuisine.
What about lunch?
That was it. Lunch? An apple.
And this is the '80s because there was there was no nutrition back then. Yeah.
And then a lean cuisine
at night, and that was it. 300 calories, lean cuisine at night.
So you were getting about what 600-800 calories a day?
Probably, if that. But I lost it, man. I lost all that weight.
Like, how long would it take you?
That
like,
took me about 6 weeks.
6 weeks to get that far
down?
Yeah,
about 6 weeks.
And then how much would you put on, like, between, like, weigh-in and would you go eat right away or no? You just stay?
Well, almost all my weigh-ins were the day of. So,
they started the day before, way later, like, recently.
So I would eat, like, a pasta just to put a little something in me, and then that was it. And then I would eat hell out of food
after.
I would eat everything. I remember one time it was Costco, it was Price Club. You guys remember that?
I remember Price Club.
Yeah. So I remember after I fought for that for the NABF title, I went to Costco and I bought like $2,000 worth of junk food. Sunflower seeds, Oreos, pistachios. It was just all garbage. Stuff I dieted so hard that I would brush my teeth with Close Up just because there was flavor to it.
Oh, I remember
Close Up. Yeah, the red one? It was back then. And then I remember
it
one time.
It had the gel in it.
Yes, tastes so good. I just wanted to taste something.
Shit.
One time I was driving by a Taco Bell, and I could smell the foods. I pulled in, and I didn't want to eat. I didn't want anything, but I grabbed one of the little sauce packets and just put it in my mouth, and I just ate that. I'm like, oh, that felt so good. Because, you
need flavor, some taste.
Yeah, I just needed something, man.
Excuse that noise in the background, because we shoot this in my backyard, so I guess one of the neighbors is either mowing a lawn or cutting down a fucking tree or
rude
blowing a leaf. I don't know.
So rude.
I don't know. But there's a noise, though. So we recognize the noise, and we don't want people to be like, do they know there's a noise in the background? Yeah, we know there's a noise.
At least you have neighbors now.
I don't know.
You were out in Malibu. You didn't have no neighbors.
Oh, that was so much better. So much better with no neighbors.
Without neighbors, yeah.
No neighbors is the win. Guys.
No That's neighbors, win. Yeah.
No oh, neighbors.
You know, no neighbors in this era, too, is the last year is awesome.
Oh, yeah. No neighbors is a great thing to have. After a year of sitting around with nothing to do, I'm ready to get some momentum going. I just want to do shows and get it done and keep it moving. And ShipStation is a service that definitely keeps it moving so that ship doesn't slow me down no matter what. If you sell stuff online, that means you probably have a lot of orders coming in. And a lot of orders you'll need to ship out fast. That's exactly why you need ShipStation. No matter how much you sell, ShipStation makes it super easy to manage and ship all your orders from your sales channel faster, cheaper, and more efficiently. No matter what you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation funnels all your orders into one simple interface so that you can manage from anywhere, even your cell phone. I have to say, I think that's what makes ShipStation the ship. I'm on the road a lot, and being able to actually get ship done on my phone is always a big plus. Seriously, ShipStation makes it possible to import orders from any sales channel, ship with any carrier, access discounted shipping rates, and automate just about any shipping task. You'll even get access to amazing discounts with major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, and USPS. Easily compare carriers and choose the best solution every time. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or commitments. So ship more in less time with ShipStation. Just use my offer code PETERS to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in PETERS. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code PETERS. Make ship happen. In 2021, mental health is finally a thing. And that's why we're excited to be sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, if you're struggling right now, you aren't alone. So many people have had a rough year, but the good news is therapy helps. And thanks to BetterHelp, therapy is more accessible than ever. BetterHelp makes it so easy for you to privately talk to someone if you feel like you're not dealing with stress well, or if issues are coming up in your relationship, or if anything else is making your life hard. Whatever it is you're dealing with, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better. You deserve to be happy, and if something as affordable as BetterHelp can make a difference for you, I think that makes it worth trying. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. There have been way too many video calls in the last year, so it's okay if you can't handle another one. You have options.
And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist who might not even be able to fit you in right away. With BetterHelp, you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. So join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Culturally Canceled with Russell Peters listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Peters. That's betterhelp.com/Peters.
I love, I've got footage of your house from Eddie of from with the...
The drone?
The drone.
Which house?
The one in Malibu.
Oh, yeah, because you shot a thing.
Yeah, I shot my pilot on there.
Yeah, Joey shot his pilot at the Malibu house.
Oh, bet.
Rick came to that house. You never came to the Hidden Hills house, though.
No, I wasn't so invited to that one.
You were. You just you were very elusive.
You couldn't get me past the gate.
You were elusive for about 3 years, right? Yeah, let's be real.
No, I was moving around a little bit. I was deep diving.
I think you were going through something, so I left you alone.
I'm always going through something, Russ.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave Rick alone. I think I only spoke to you a couple of times. One time I was in Toronto at the Canadian Upfronts, and Vanessa was on the red carpet in front of me.
Oh, okay.
And then I hit you. I was like, hey, you guys cool? Yeah, of course. I go, okay, because I'm going to tell her I know you. And I don't want to be like, oh, you know that son of a bitch? No, nah. She was like, oh, Rick, he's great. He's a wonderful man. I'm like, oh, boy. Always call my friends if I see like they're famous.
Yeah.
Spouse or ex-wife or whatever on and I'm at a party or something, I'll be like I was at a Big Boy's birthday party about 2 years ago, and Khloe and Kourtney Kardashian were there, and I was like, oh shit. And then I hit up Tristan right away. I go, you guys cool?
Yeah, right.
He goes, yeah, go say what's up, we're cool. I go, okay, cool.
Yeah.
They were very nice.
Yes, they are.
But surprisingly, I was, you know, because, you know, if you don't know them, much like the rest of the world, when you don't know those Kardashians, you go, fuck those people.
Yeah,
but then you meet them and you go, you know what? They're actually very, very cordial, very nice. They're not dicks to you. So you like, you feel bad that you even had those thoughts in the first place.
Yeah, there's very few people that obviously reach that level of global recognition and status. And I think also the fact that they opened their lives up to so much.
Well, that's the only way they were going to make money.
Well, it worked. It friggin' worked for them, didn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, everything is an open book. So at the end of the day, people not only feel like they know them, but they also they document and script so much of the scenarios.
And the people live their lives for them.
Here's
what you should do.
They project onto them. Project onto them. So
it's got to be really annoying because I don't like when people do it to me.
Well, you think about how many people hate their own lives, right? And hate themselves, hate the decisions they make, things they do, and now they're living through them. So they're going to love and hate them at different times based on the things they do.
Oh, my God, it's like living this world, but oh, my God, I hate what they just did.
Yep.
Why would you waste your money on that? I hate when people used to tell me that when I used to make money.
when we all had jobs.
Yeah, when we used to make money, it was like, why are you wasting your money on that? I go, because I fucking never had it growing up. Okay, why don't I try it out now?
Yeah, right.
It's true.
The good news is, after this whole reset, I know what I don't need anymore.
Yeah.
You're not going to see me at the fucking Rolls Royce dealership again.
Same here.
You know what I mean? You're not going to see me buying frivolous things, huh?
Can I write that down?
I mean, you're not going to see me at the Rolls Royce dealership anytime soon.
Anytime soon. 2022.
Yeah.
See, but it's the part, like, my girl watches it, and it's like, She loves the Kardashians. Well, I don't think she officially loves the Kardashians, but I know she does. And she's always like, oh, they're doing this and they got this. And I'm like, why are you watching that garbage? And then I stay there, and then 2 hours later, I'm still watching the Kardashians because it's just addictive, man. You know?
Yeah. Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates.
Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Have you guys, though, ran into somebody who was a celebrity or a well-known person and then found out, oh, this person's a dick?
Fucking Russell Peters,
man. Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll tell you what, boy. The first time I met Rick was about 10 years ago. We were doing the George Lopez show.
Right.
Yeah. And I was a big fan of Oz. So I only knew him as the guy from Oz. Oh, when I found out he actually played in the NBA, I was like, you really did that?
You weren't just acting?
Yeah, and I was like, and he was such a dick on Oz.
Yeah, it was.
And I was like, ah, this guy's such an asshole. Because, you know, you watch, you go, this pretty motherfucker is 6'7". He's, fuck him. And he was a dick on the show. So you're like, fuck him twice.
Yeah.
No, I had and then a lot I met him, and he goes, hey, man, I'm a big fan. I go, huh? And he was really nice. And I go,
yeah, me too.
In my head, I was like, oh, shit, he's not a dick. Yeah. You really got to learn to separate people from.
It's hard, though, right?
It really is, because people know Rick Fox. They don't know Rick.
They don't know Rick.
People know Russell Peters. They don't know Russell.
Ulrich Alexander.
They don't know Ulrich.
Ulrich Alexander.
No, when did you move to Bahamas? How old were you?
9 months.
Oh, you would never spend any fucking time in Toronto.
Like, don't give me the Canadian quiz now.
You son of a bitch. I was going to give you some Canadian chocolate, but you don't deserve that.
No. I left at 9 months. My dad was working as a car salesman up in Toronto, man. Met my mom.
Yeah. And, what kind of cars?
Oh, she used cars, all kind of sorts. I have some, I think it was Ford maybe or something like that.
Whatever.
Would there be Ford up in Canada?
Yeah, they're everywhere. Rick.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
It's fucking like, ignoramus.
Back in the 60s, man. You know,
it's like, it was only 69, dog.
When did NAFTA kicked in? I don't know. Yeah, but he was working there. Yeah, we had a Pinto. Yeah.
We only had Canadian car companies up there. We had the Maple.
The Maple?
Uh-huh. No, we're making this shit up, you
okay,
dummy.
Okay, there you go. I left it 9 months, Russ.
You never went back and visited?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so the first...
your mom's family's there.
Hell yeah, but my mom's family's from Vancouver, from British Columbia.
I mean, oh.
Trail BC. Trail BC up in the Cominco Mines.
Way the hell up there.
Yeah, way up there, 7 miles up from Vancouver, actually. East into the mountains. But my 9 months, moved to the Bahamas. My dad was fighting for independence, trying to get away from the British colonialism there. And succeeded in 73. But my mom moved from Canada down to Bahamas, 1970.
Yeah.
I mean,
you would have been 9 months old.
Yeah, interracial marriage. Like in Virginia, you could get hung for that shit. Oh, yeah.
How black
was your
dad?
My dad's black.
Yeah.
Black man. Yes.
Because your mom's white.
My mom's white woman.
Scottish?
Very white. Italian, Scottish.
Yeah.
My dad's black.
Your dad's black. And you look Indian, so it's really. Yeah. So
very
apparently,
confusing.
Guys, if you don't want to be Indian, but you want to make an Indian,
there you go.
Come see Rick Fox in his new seminar. How to be Indian without all the attributes of smarts.
Shit. Yeah, but the first 5 years of my life, it was me and my mom going back and forth to Vancouver in Trail, BC.
So what was she doing in Toronto then?
Running away from my dad. Oh, you mean, you said Toronto, not Bahamas?
When they met in Toronto, right?
Yeah. So she had moved after the 1964 Tokyo Olympics.
Wait, was she an athlete?
She was
too?
An athlete, yeah. She was a high jumper.
Really?
Yeah, she went to the Olympics for Canada. And then
did
she moved to
get
Toronto.
Did she get a medal or anything?
No, she finished seventh.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Come on about your loser family.
And it was Special Olympics. That was the worst part. It's the worst part.
Very, very touching. She'd won. She won the world championship and stuff, and she sprained her ankle. And because she did the first ever decathlete.
That's awesome, man.
For women.
Uh-huh.
They threw her in that.
Well,
and she probably shouldn't have done that, but she got hurt doing that. Okay. While, and so when it was time to do her main event.
64 was the first women's decathlon?
Yeah. And when it was time
for And then 76, a woman won it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she moved to Toronto to help Bruce set Jenner. Up. And she moved. Maybe it was the pentathlete. It was less. Yes, the pentathlete, because it was only 8 events.
Wouldn't that be an octathlete?
Maybe.
Wouldn't pent be?
Remember again, make 5? An Indian without the smarts. So you get me?
What's a pentathlete?
I think it's 8, right? A no, pentagon, I mean, has 8, octagon has 8 sides, but yeah. What is a pentathlete?
Paulie, what's a pentathlete?
He's looking it up. I can't even swim.
Hey,
so
man,
I
made
this
shit
any
up.
Of those.
I made it up. Oh. Coming in 2028 to the LA Olympics, pentathlete.
Turns out it wasn't even a high jump. It was just, she had to hop the fence to get into the Olympics. Huh?
Five events.
Five events. Yeah, yeah. Because it would be half a decathlete.
Right. Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
You're good.
Same thing.
Close enough. And she couldn't even do that, huh?
She did it. She just got hurt doing it.
She couldn't do half the shit that she was supposed to do.
And the events were fencing, shooting, swimming, riding, and cross-country running.
Yes. Oh, wow. I think she got hurt in the cross-country running. At least that's what I'm telling myself. If she got hurt doing the fencing shit. Or the
shooting. Pop my ankle.
That's what it is. She got shot in the ankle, damn it. Well, to make a long story short, she carried those scars into her life. And
are you
moved.
Glad you didn't get her ankles?
I actually did, I think.
Did you really?
I popped a tendon in my left foot. Same.
In a game?
It ended my career.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, you could blame your mom for that, right?
Well, I think subconsciously, I carried that history of her being ashamed of not winning the gold medal or whatever, because she had done really well in the world championships and won medals and stuff, and then fell short. And she felt, I think, embarrassed that she didn't win a medal.
But she shouldn't be, man. I mean, that's
such
freaking
Olympics. Right, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you
such
make
a
the
big
Olympics.
Accomplishment.
She only let the country down, you know. Like,
that's fine. That's why she left. Good. She let the country down right after that. She married a black guy. Listen.
Made a dumb Indian.
That's right.
Made an Indian.
She was so embarrassed, she made an Indian guy with a black guy. That's...
Well, then there was the heptathlon, which were 7 events.
Yeah, but you had to be really cool because you had to be hip.
It was in 64, so whatever.
She was in an athlon.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of
what
the
hell is an athlon?
It's the that's the thing without the number attached.
Yeah. What, they made it up as they went? Yeah. It's like, hey, we're going to do this athlon thing.
Yeah, they're like, hey, let's do it.
It could have been a biathlon. That would have been 2.
Right. Yeah. My mom, I didn't think, really necessarily vibed with my family originally. White woman coming to the islands when we're fighting the colonial British.
Yeah, a white woman comes while you're fighting the British.
Yeah, right. And,
so this is my woman.
not.
What is she doing here?
we're fighting against them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she would pick up and every once in a while grab me and take me with her to Trail BC. So I would spend months on end.
Oh, so you
in
never
Canada.
Spent any time in Toronto then?
Very little time.
This is some bullshit.
Yeah, no. But I got I got family there. I know, right? Sorry.
You do have family in Toronto?
Yeah.
And you never see them? Do you communicate
Social
with
media,
them?
Yeah. Social media.
Are they foxes? No, they wouldn't be foxes.
No. They're most of my family's on the West Coast. Mm. In Victoria and still in Trail.
Is your mom still around?
Yeah. My mom's alive. My dad passed away. My mom's in Bahamas still.
Oh, she stayed there?
Yeah, she pretty much became a Bahamian.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to be stuck somewhere, that's a good place to be stuck, man. It's beautiful.
I mean, given the choice.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Trail BC or Bahamas.
Yeah. So she ended up, after about the first 5 years, she settled in, started popping out some more Indian kids.
Yeah, how many kids?
Four of us total. A brother and 2 more sisters. Yeah.
Same suit?
Brother and 2 sisters, yeah.
All same mom and dad.
Yeah, all same
mom
and dad. Oh,
that's good.
That's back in the day when you weren't.
Well, your dad wasn't that West Indian then.
He was.
I mean, there might be some others. You know what you're saying?
I'm still waiting for them to show up.
Yeah, they're a little late now.
Yeah.
Should have done it when you were playing.
Yeah, exactly.
When your ankles were still good.
Right.
So do any of your nieces and nephews call you Ankle Rick? Don't call him Ankle Rick. He's very sensitive about that. Ankle Rick. Sorry, Uncle Rick.
Yeah, but I haven't been home in a minute, man. I'd like to go home. Shit.
I'd like to go to the Bahamas with you.
I know. I want you to come down and...
I've only been once, and it was on a ship. I was working on a cruise ship doing jokes. And then, and then we ported, and I walked around
Nassau,
the island.
Nassau, a little bit. Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this is fucking boring.
Yeah, it's a little boring.
My second honeymoon was there.
Yeah?
Really?
Bahamas. Yeah, I love Bahamas. It was dope.
How many times have you been married?
3.
You actually got married 3 times?
Yeah.
I've never known you to be married.
I know. It was, my last marriage was when I was 32 and I'm 55, so it was a while ago.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say.
She was crazy. They were all crazy except the first one. That was the good one, and I screwed that up.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Yeah. I screwed up my first one. Yeah, yeah.
Which was your first one?
Miss America?
Oh, right.
Yeah, you totally screwed that up.
Yeah, she was great. I was just a restless motherfucker. Didn't know what the hell.
Yeah, exactly. You're in your
20s and you're doing well.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do it in your 20s. It doesn't
No.
Especially if you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You got vaginas flying at you. It's literally like a shotgun blast of vagina. You like try to duck them all, but you're going to get hit with a couple.
You can't be rude and not do it. You know what I mean? It's just rude.
I think when you're, especially in your 20s, you start going, well, this opportunity might not be here later, so I better do this now.
Yes.
And you're right. You're right to think that, but you're wrong to think you should be married at that age.
Right.
I got married the first time because of one simple thing that my girlfriend at the time told me. She goes, we were talking about loneliness. I got into a fight with my sister Kathy, who I love and adore to death,
is that the one I know?
Yeah, Kathy,
the black girl.
Yeah, she's darker than Rick.
He's got a black sister.
Okay,
his Puerto Rican. His sister's actually a sister.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
So I remember telling my wife at the time, my girlfriend, I'm like, yeah, I feel so lonely, you know, that if I could lose my sister. She goes, I know how it feels to be lonely even when you're with someone, because I was always doing my thing. And I felt so guilty. So we just drove to Vegas and got married. I'm like, fuck it, let's do it.
Mm.
And
that was the first one?
Yeah, it was the first one. And that lasted about 3 years. Mexican. She was adorable, beautiful. I met her in my uncle's gym, my bodybuilding uncle's gym.
Wait, what year was this? How old were you?
32?
I was 21.
20. Oh,
you were still
really
fighting
young.
Then.
Yeah, yeah, I was still fighting. Shit. And she was beautiful. She was like 5 foot, no, 4'11". She had big green eyes. She had probably your complexion.
She was 4'11". Everything looked big.
Yeah. She was absolutely beautiful. Like, she was probably the first person I ever fell in love with, like, love at first sight. I was like, oh, my God.
Did you ever in contact? Do you see her still? Or?
We got kids, two kids, two sons.
Oh, sweet.
You had the kids with her? Or
No, she had them. And then
it was BYOK?
Bring your own kids. So then what happened was when we got divorced, I grew up without a dad, and I don't want the kids growing up without a dad because they knew me as their dad. That's all they knew. And I asked her, I go, can I adopt the kids officially and, you know, give them the last name and be their dad? And she's like, sure. And I'm like, all right, let's do this.
So there's two Medinas out there.
Yep. There's two little Medinas.
Do you still
Medinas
talk to
right
them?
Now. Oh, of course, all the time.
I've known you 15 years, Joey.
Really?
Yeah. I've never met your kids once.
They're in Arizona.
No, I've heard about them.
Yeah. Have you seen on my Instagram? My son's a real great artist. The oldest one, Joshua. Mm. He knows I love Rocky. He's like my greatest movie ever. And he bought these. He has white Converse, and he painted Rocky all over it.
That's cool.
From the scene, I mean, they're beautiful. They're perfect. He's that good of an artist.
My son was watching Rocky the other day.
Oh, nice.
Is it his first time?
No, it's like his fifth time. He's absolutely obsessed with the movie. Yeah,
greatest movie.
He does
it
for
me.
He watches it and then to get fired up about running and stuff like that so he can train. And I went by to drop something off at his place and he was like, Dad, when was the last time you seen Rocky?
Which one?
I was like, are you watching
it
again? The original.
Yeah, the original.
Isn't like the other one.
That movie was beautiful, man.
It says, you know, there's like 8 or 9 of them, right? Yeah, so you should watch them all. He was like, I'm just watching the first one.
Yeah.
He was like,
the other ones are entertaining, but the first one was just beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful film.
That Rocky Balboa was good.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa was the last.
Was the one with Antonio Tarver,
yes,
right? I watched that in the theater in Universal City, and I remember crying in the movie.
Yeah, because it was closest one to the original Rocky from all the others. The other ones that got crazies fighting robots and Godzilla and all these. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But the first one and the last one were actually really well done. The first one was just amazing, man.
He's done a good job, right? Yeah, that whole franchise.
Well, you know, it's funny when people say, I forgot what it was, you know, a long time ago, people were like, oh, yeah, Sylvester Stallone's not a good actor. I'm like, have you seen Rocky? Have you seen, guy was nominated, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So he is a good actor.
Yep.
He can get the job done. It's the 80s and everybody was trying to do different things and branch out. He was, you know, over the top and then... That was the arm wrestling movie, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that one.
And then there was the, what was some of the other ones? Judge Dredd and all those
First
things.
Blood, man.
First Blood.
First Blood?
I still to this day have never seen Rambo.
What?
Never seen Rambo.
Bruh, you got to see Rambo. It's
Rambo
Stallone.
Came out in what, like 83, right?
I think he maybe said 5 words in that entire movie.
Yeah. He's great.
I was like really young, so I was like, my parents weren't going to let me
remember
First Blood.
Where's the one where he played the cop?
Shit.
Copland?
But the heavyset cop?
No, not Copland. He was really good in Copland.
Yeah.
Going back when he drove the silver. Oh, man. Come on. Tango and Cat. No.
Tango and Cash?
No, I saw that one. He was in that one too.
That was him and Russell, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Mm-hmm. But there was a movie he played a cop, man. You're going to make me go to the Google.
Pre Rocky, post Rocky?
Post. Stallone.
Yeah, he was broke as hell when he did Rocky, the first one.
Well, yeah, Cobra.
Cobra was dope.
Oh, yeah, Cobra was dope.
Man.
And the car was dope.
Yeah, the car was the shit, man.
I'm going to watch that again today. That movie was dope. I remember that.
It's like the original John Wick.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, I remember. I was too young. I was 12, 13 years old. My parents, Indian parents, and I let you see a movie called First Blood.
No.
There really? Could be about a period. We don't know. Why are you learning this way?
About some 12-year-old girl.
But they wouldn't let me see "Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret." They would. Remember that, Courtney?
When were you free to make decisions?
I was allowed to do things, but yeah. I would have to like hide it. Like so, when I was like not 6.5, 7 years old, I was a huge Kiss fan.
Yeah,
and so my parents bought me Love Gun, the Kiss album, uh-huh. Love Gun, and I was like, oh my god, I need another one, and I bought another Kiss record, and then the third time I wanted a Kiss record. Everyone's like, no more Kiss. Get something else. And I go, can we get this? It was double platinum. Kiss had an album called Double Platinum. But it was all silver. It was double platinum. But the Kiss was embossed tone on tone. So you couldn't see it. I go, can I get this one? Is this Kiss? I go, no, it's double platinum. And then my dad's like, I can see Kiss.
So my first, it's funny you say Kiss because in the Bahamas, my first introduction to music other than Calypso
or reggae
or church music was my neighbors, these Greek kids. They lived up the street. Mm-hmm. Three Greek kids my age. They were obsessed with Kiss. Mm-hmm. And they introduced me to, Kiss, the group with all the makeup. And I was like, these are the devil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
these guys are the devil, right? Like, oh, you got to be kidding me, right? My parents will never, like, right. I started listening to it. I could only listen to it at their house.
Oh,
right,
okay,
but that was the introduction to me to like rock and roll back in like 80, right? And then I came years later. I meet Gene Simmons.
Yeah, same.
I actually meet him. I meet him in Vegas. They were doing a show at the Hard Rock or whatever somewhere in there.
Yeah,
and I got to take a photo with him, right. And I stuck my tongue out and all that stuff at the house. I was like, you have no idea. Sent it to my friends. They were so jealous.
Must have been the only guy who Gene Simmons met who was the same height as him.
Yeah, yeah, but he was in his boots. I went to his house. I got to actually go to his house and see.
I had that happen to me as well.
Incredible, man. Went to his house. Uh-huh. Had no idea he was basically the brains behind the machine that was Kiss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
he was the marketing genius.
He was the marketing genius, and his house is filled.
Dude, that's what he did to me.
With all of his licensed Kiss products. Right, and I'm telling you.
Was he trying to do business with you?
No, we had my manager knew him and his family, and they were doing business together. His daughter, was represented by my manager, and so I think I went to go. Yeah, Sophie, and I think I went to go meet him just to talk about just he had a show. He was doing some production stuff.
Simmons, he was doing
the Simmons Family Jewels, but he was doing other production stuff.
Yeah, I was going to do something with him.
Ah, got it. Yeah,
and he knew that I was a huge fan.
Yeah,
so to totally fucking throw me right off, he invited me to his house. And I get there, and he sits me in his office where all the stuff is, and
ridiculous.
He's pitching me this show. But I was such a Kiss fan that I'm sitting in the room looking at everything, and he's talking. I'm like, yeah,
it's on the ceiling, it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, fuck, let's do that. And I'm like, I'm looking at his boots right there, and I'm like, yo, those are the boots, and there's the pinball machines, and all the dolls, and I'm thinking, I had that.
That's wild to be a fan of his and to be in that room with him.
I liked Kiss growing up, but I couldn't tell anybody because back then it was rock versus disco. Remember
it was the same thing in Canada.
Yeah, yeah, it was rock. So I had to be. It was all about disco. If you said you like Kiss, you were being a traitor or your friend. So I like Kiss, but I couldn't tell nobody.
And in Canada, they were called, it was the Rock-Ons or the Funkers.
The Funkers.
Are you a Rock-On or are you a Funker? And I was like, I'm a fucking Rock-On, dude. But I was secretly a Funker, too, because my brother was a Funker.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I didn't really get immersed into music as a culture until I got to Indiana. Mm. So you can imagine landing in Warsaw, Indiana, northern Indiana, where...
How old were you?
Like, I was 15.
Oh, boy.
And so literally, I had no music taste or background in music other than, like I said, Kiss and, like, Caribbean music. Right. And then I land in Indiana in the 80s and 84 with, you know, Boston and Journey and right. ABBA and the Cars and Foreigner and Van Halen and all these. And that was my immersion into, like, soft rock.
Yeah, and hip-hop was already going on at that point,
hip-hop
too.
Hip-hop was going on, but in Indiana, I'm not getting any hip-hop. I'm getting Michael Jackson and Prince. Like, yeah. that was the depth of my
music
outside of, yeah, surface, right?
Radio,
all that stuff. But I got deep into all of that music, so my 80s, anywhere from 84 on till 90, till I got to college. When I got to college, it was, you know, then the Heavy D and all the 80s, late 80s rap music, right? But I could sing any lyric from us.
I know, I got to give you a stick today.
I got to get that.
I'm going to make that.
But anything 80s related, man, I was deep into all of that.
Do you find that you're that way now? Like, I appreciate that music even more now.
I do.
That I'm older.
I'm an 80s junkie.
Yeah, I listen to all of it, man.
Yeah, and so much of it is just, A, you can hear the lyrics.
Yeah, exactly.
They're actually saying something. But, you know, today, if I think of soft rock for me was my 80s, and college was rap and R&B. Then I got to Boston, and it was alternative, like, you know, Tracy Chapman and Aerosmith and all that.
Tracy Chapman was the shit.
She was the shit, yeah.
You know, I think she was way ahead of her time, first of all.
Yeah.
Because she was making fantastic music, but at the time, the black community was like, what the fuck is wrong with this bitch? Does she know she's black? And they're like, but that's also part of the time. You weren't allowed to do things that were outside of the lines.
Right,
right.
That's why that group in Living Color.
Yeah, that's the era, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
The black metal group, Living Color, remember them?
No, I don't.
Vernon Reed.
I remember them, yeah.
Yeah, they were like a black metal band. Not black metal, but they were black guys that played rock and roll heavy metal shit. And they were huge.
Completely missed
out. But apparently Vernon Reed, like the guy from Living Color, produced a bunch of other shit too that nobody really knew about.
Oh, wow.
Like produced some hip-hop shit and some R&B shit, but people didn't pay attention to it. Like they were big songs, but people didn't know it was
him. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So he was behind, like kind of Milli Vanilli-like.
Well, he was just the guy behind the scenes
and actually the genius in the equation.
And I just feel like Tracy Chapman got a raw deal back then.
Yeah.
Because also,
away, man. Like,
and
she,
you know, she wasn't the look they were looking for. And I always said, you know, maybe they don't always have to be the best looking people to make the best music.
Oh no!
Sometimes I think the less attractive, the better.
Personality. I remember Cult of Personality.
You're the Cult of Personality.
Yeah, I remember them. Yeah. Okay.
No, but that music was because when Tracy Chapman was around, so was Jewel. Like it was all that type.
She was
that
Alanna Morissette. Like it was all
that.
She
was in the 90s. She was
all that. Yeah. Like. Morbid kind of,
but if you listen to the
broken kind of,
well, that's
of
the thing because she didn't really fall into a category. She wasn't rock.
She was folk a little bit,
folky, and she played acoustic guitar.
I got a ticket to get it anywhere.
Yeah, and that shit is dope.
Yeah, dude, like that kind of stuff.
That fast car and the other one, Name I got it on my phone.
Hold there's on, not tons of them. Promise.
Give me one reason to stay
here. Yep.
And I turn right back around.
And I'll play that shit now, and I'm like, yo, this shit is dope. What about I really feel like we should retroactively be able to give these people props again.
Yes.
My son went on a friggin' run the other day. He calls me up. He's like, Dad, who's this Phil Collins guy?
Wow.
he's good. Like, should I like go down the rabbit hole and explore him some more? Like,
definitely.
He's like, Phil Collins. He like caught a Sue Studio song or something. Yeah. He was like, Dad, I was moving on my run and I was like, I really like him.
Phil Collins, I would love to see him good? In a concert. I was
like, son, check him out in Genesis.
You gotta turn Rick on to we have a friend called DJ, Nothing But Scratch.
Mm-hmm. Starting from scratch.
Starting from scratch. Nothing from scratch.
Nothing.
He's nothing but scratch. Starting from scratch. But he did. Remember when he did the
Cottage Cheese?
Cottage Cheese. I'm gonna give all that shit to Rick tonight. It's such mixed. It's mostly 70s, but a little 80s.
Yeah,
and it's dope, man.
So I knew nothing about the 70s because I came here in 84. Right.
Yeah,
right?
But once you hear, you're gonna be like, oh, I guess
love
I
with
do.
I'm falling in love with the 70s because all that shit got sampled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here I am thinking, music today, you know, that I fall in love with and like, done by either it's a rapper or any band that has covered something, right? I think it's the original. To find out, like, it's been done.
It's the same with comedy, though. I mean, everything has been talked about. Now it's about talking about it from your perspective. And and then now we're living in a weird time where people only want to hear certain people's perspective.
Yeah.
And if you're not the it person, well, shut the fuck up and let that guy talk. And you're like,
or you know, even worse, probably for you guys, it's like anyone with that even tries it can get more attention sometimes. Because in other words, meaning no slight on, because he knocked the motherfucker out, but the kid Jake Paul tries boxing. I want to be a boxer. Knocks out someone that's not a boxer, but all of a sudden now he's a boxer.
He's a great fighter.
Right? So it's like, I'm sure with music or comedian or even acting. Look, I'm guilty. Fuck, I was an actor.
Yeah, but
I'm an athlete.
You were a good
I'm like,
actor.
I want to. Took me 25 years to get there. I just fucking kept getting.
No, but on Oz, you were great.
Thank you. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
That's what made it great.
Yes, exactly.
And you were in jail. You'd never been in jail. You were never part of that world. So for you to be in jail on the show, it was about right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to act in here.
Yeah. Yes. There you go. Just summed up my early acting success. Yeah,
I did a movie called Ripped a few years ago, me and Faison, and it was a stoner film.
Okay.
And I don't smoke weed,
right?
So when there was all these scenes where we're smoking these fake joints, and then I'd be like, not doing it right. I'm thinking I'm not doing it right. I said to the director, I go, hey, do I look okay? He goes, no, you look great. You look paranoid. I go, I am. He goes, perfect,
perfect.
And I'm like,
and bingo,
and scene.
Yeah.
Have you acted in any?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we all have done acting. We've all got in there. What was it? At what point in your acting, the acting phase of your career, did you say, oh, okay, no, I know what I'm doing. I belong.
To be honest, I don't ever think
I belong.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Like, well, especially comedy. I don't like to do comedies as much.
Oh,
because
wow.
Because I feel like I'm doing someone else's material and it's all like I'm trying to be funny the way it's on paper. And
you rewrite it.
You want to rewrite it, right? But if it's a drama, I can do that with like easy. So, it's just a weird thing.
I like to do, I take a script if it's serious. I go, the writer sometimes will be like, I don't know the right comedy. Go, don't worry about it. Just write the way you're going to write it and I'll do what I got to do to it.
Right.
And that makes it a lot easier for me.
Do you find that some writers, most writers in that case, are collaborative? They're like, they want that input. They want.
Make sure they're collaborative. If they're not, then I'll respect what they're doing.
Right.
Because I don't fucking do that. So you tell me what you want then.
I go on set sometimes to this day, and I tell guys, I say, look, man, at any point in time, I'm rewriting your shit, man. Tell me shut the fuck up. Because like sometimes I'll get in character and I'll, like, to me, the character has to be something I'm feeling as well too, right? And some people, man, some writers and some sets, you don't change a fucking word.
I know that is weird when they get precious about that.
Yes. And
you're like,
and,
dude, it's a word. I need that word.
Yeah, no. And they
and I get it from a comics perspective.
Yes.
Like, we economize our words. We
right.
We think about what word is going to go there and why that word is there. And then we got to respect somebody else who's doing it on their level. But at the same time, I'm like, but don't you think that if we did it this way, can I just try one this way?
That's the curse of being like a guest star and not a lead, I think, in a series. Mm-hmm. And when you're a lead, you get more collaborative conversations flowing back and forth.
A lot of filmmakers want you to be they want a really good performance. So for instance, if it you don't feel right, as long as I think you get the message and you put the message out there and you, what they want, I think that that just works the best. But you're right. There's some filmmakers that are just like, nope, you got to do it this way.
I'm really, I try to be really respectful of the writer, but sometimes it's hard because sometimes there's great writing. And then,
there's good writing.
Then there's good writing, right?
And then there's, and you wrote that, huh?
And at the same time, you kind of go, okay, I'm only looking to make it better for all of us. Mm-hmm. Can we have a conversation about it?
I remember you ever had a great writer write something really, and you're like, I know you're better than this. What the fuck happened? I had a writer who's a really great writer. I'm not going to say what show or what it was, but he became very expositional with his writing. And I'm like, I'm like, dude, this is Scooby-Doo right now. Mm-hmm. You literally just wrote Scooby-Doo. You know what I mean? Like, and if we did that, then this one would have happened because of that when this guy, and we would have got away with the two if it wasn't for you meddling kids. I was like, you're a fucking genius writer. Why would you write like this? That's like something I would write, and even I wouldn't write like that.
Because I have to pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is like that. Kevin Smith, you can't, he doesn't want you to
Jay and Silent Bob?
One single word. You can't change one single word.
But again, Kevin Smith's writing I would trust.
Right.
Because I'm such a fan of his movies. I'm like, yeah, if that's the way you wrote it, there's got to be a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in all, I mean, come like I said, 25 years coming up on all, I took every opportunity I could get. So that put me in some situations where we weren't making Shakespeare. but you know, you learn how to, make, chicken soup out of chicken shit or whatever. You try to find a way to communicate and collaborate and serve the character, serve the story, but also respect the people that
I was in a very popular film. You might've seen Zombie Strippers. And
on rerun, bro.
He was the said stripper.
Yes. No. But the funny thing is, the director, like when I read it, he gave it to me to read, and I read it. And the next day we met, and he said, "What do you think?" He goes, "Do you think it was your character's too racist, or it's a racist?" I go, "Yeah, dude. It's the way you wrote it, it's very racist." He goes, "How could I fix it?" I go, "Make it even more racist because you got to make it over the top. You got to go over the top. If you don't go over the top, it's embarrassing, dude.
Half stepped it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he let me even go further with it. And so then it became a big joke, but that's the way it's supposed to be.
I think that's a problem I genuinely have sometimes in these corporate meetings. Rather than tiptoe around things, I just say it right out. Mm-hmm. And then we get these complaints later, like, you know, Russell wasn't very professional and he said these things that were kind of offensive. I go, I would rather have been over the top offensive so you can see that it's deliberate and on purpose and supposed to be extreme to the point where you're like, there's no way he can fucking mean that.
Right.
Because that's not who I am anyway.
Right.
You know, I'm not a malicious guy. So if I say something like that.
How do you find that fucking line? How do you find a line in comedy? Like
nowadays you don't know what the fucking line is.
I was going to say, for you guys nowadays, everyone's so fucking sensitive, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son's generation in the 20s,
they're very sensitive.
They are. It's about their emotions and their feelings.
That's why comedians don't do colleges anymore.
I don't do them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But you know what I do when I'm around?
Because you'll get culturally banned.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm around kids in their 20s, I go way over the top with all the old school shit we used to say. We're throwing around every fucking negative, derogatory connotation towards anybody just to look at their face. I do it just to see the reaction, just to see them go, oh my God, this is a terrible person. I'm like, no, you're just soft. I don't mean any of this. Right. There's no way anybody can say this and mean that.
Beyond soft.
And when you see comedians just hanging out and the stuff we say to each other,
dark.
Oh my God, if you didn't know you were a comedian, you'd think we're the worst people in the world. We're the most racist, most hateful, and it's not as to us as funny it's just so over the top.
Is it throwing stuff at the wall? Or is it digging and digging and seeing what really.
For comics, it's about making the comic go around when we're with each other. It's about making one of us go, holy shit, what's wrong with you? Yeah. And then we go, I did it. I really did it, guys. I crossed the line. We found the line, guys.
How does that work for male comics and female comics? Like, can a female comic sit in a room with male comics?
As far as I'm concerned, if you're a comic, I don't care what gender you are, you're a comic.
Right.
Male or female, it doesn't matter to me. If you're doing the exact same job as me, there's no reason you and I cannot have this equal conversation.
Right.
I don't care about your gender. It doesn't affect me because we're doing the same job. It's the same. I respect any women fighters. I don't look at them as women fighters. I look at them and that's a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And that woman's doing things. She's a tough motherfucker. I don't give a shit what gender she is. I don't care if she sits or stands when she pees. That's a bad motherfucker right there. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Except for prostitutes. I only mess with the female ones.
Well, so you say. I've been in Asia with you.
We've heard about the zombie stripper movie.
Yes. We'll tell you about that later.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know. The last time I was in a strip club, geez.
I don't like strip clubs.
I don't like them either.
It's like shopping and you can't buy nothing.
It's the worst. I remember, and this will probably rate the podcast at a different place. But I mean, I came into the league in the 90s, 91, and that was the era of when you went on the road. Like the team event was to go to the strip club. Like, and if you didn't go, like you were holier than thou, or you weren't a part of the team.
Right.
Went and got something to eat. Went to the strip club. And I remember as a young man in the 20s, because I'd gone through college and I was a big man on campus, and I didn't go to strip clubs in college, but it was a thing where I never, the
what
idea.
What college
of
you go to?
North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Is that the same one that Jordan went
yeah,
to?
That was Mike's. Mike was like the mentor for me as a kid, man.
Well, I think he was a mentor for a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you actually knew him.
Yeah.
That's different.
I actually worked his camp and stayed. Yeah, worked his camp. I got a Mike story. I stayed at Mike's house working his camp back in 88. Summer 88. And that was right when.
That's prime Michael.
That's prime Jordan taking off.
That's right when
That's right when the Air Jordans were hitting the market and exploding. And I remember I'd stay at the house, drive the cars in between weeks of camp when I'd work 2 weeks of camp and hang out with him. And down in the basement, he had his gym. And I'd sleep down in the basement. But he also had this closet with a whole bunch of just random Air Jordans, every color you could think of, yellow, green, black, blue, just multicolors just thrown in the closet, right? And I remember one day, I said, Mike, man, can I get, using all these shoes? Like, can I get a couple pairs of shoes? He was like, yeah, you go ahead and get some. I must have taken 12 pairs of shoes.
Goddamn right.
I took every single one of them. Nice. And I don't know where they are to this day, but it was one point back in 1988, I went back to college and I had about 12 pairs of Jordans from him. That today would probably all be worth about $50,000 to $100,000
easily.
Mm-hmm. And I just he was Air Jordan, but that was my time there. But I didn't go to strip clubs until I got to the Celtics. And I remember going in for the first time. I remember thinking, oh, I have to give you, I'm supposed to give you money.
Who are you supposed to give money to?
No, and the strippers. Like, you're like, I'm giving you money and I can't. There's no touching. There's no
Yeah, a friend of mine.
And I was just like, this, something about this equation is, does
yeah,
not.
Yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine calls them wanstitutes.
Wants.
Yeah, they want a prostitute, but they really can't commit to that. So they're just going to.
Here you go.
It's like when you go into the sneaker stores in New York and they got all the shoes wrapped in plastic. They're laminated. I want to touch the shoe, but you can't.
You can't. Yeah, for years. And it took me about 2 years of that. And then I went, yeah, I don't like this equation.
I don't like it either.
This is frustrating.
I'll do it. Now and then, I still feel gross.
I don't even put myself in that situation.
Yeah, not anymore. I mean, I haven't done it in many, many years. But
not to diminish the profession,
the industry,
industry. It's not for me.
I've enjoyed it more when I was with a girl, with a date, girlfriend or something, because I'm like, oh, this is hot. Like, she's getting the dances. I'm like, all right, this is cool. Maybe something will happen. Bada bing, bada bum. But that's when it's fun. But when you go, just some guys, hey, you want to go to the strip club? I'm like, I'm all right. Yeah. Why am I going to spend money
just
for nothing?
You got to look at where you are in the scale of the financial scale. Who's going to look at you when the bill comes?
Yes, oh my gosh. Exactly.
Listen, if the three of us went, they're going to, me and Rick are going to look at each other and you're going to look at us and be like, which one of you motherfuckers is paying? Yeah. And I'm like, well, Rick, you had that big contract, not me.
My son turned 21, took him to Vegas for his birthday. Mm-hmm. Figured, I dragged him to Vegas. I was like, no, motherfucker, we're going to Vegas.
I remember meeting your kid. Oh, shit. He's how old now?
He's 26 now.
Oh, shit. So I met him when he was 19. He hadn't turned 21 yet.
Yeah, he was younger.
Oh, no. Maybe he was 20. 19 or 20 when I met him, because he was about to be 20.
Yeah.
And it was in Vegas.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
What were we doing? We were...
We were doing something at the Bellagio.
It was the Bellagio After Dark stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just...
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. He came there. He came for that weekend, but he wasn't 21 yet.
No, I remember.
Came back the next year. I dragged him there, man. Took him out. He looked uncomfortable then. He was very uncomfortable. He's not that kid. Vegas is not for him. He doesn't like it. But my buddy got him drunk.
Hilarious.
Threw some shots of 1942 down his throat. He got drunk. And I'll
Did
never
he like
forget.
It, Bingo?
I DJ'd his party, his 21st party at Hyde Bellagio.
Oh, wow.
So the whole time, I'm DJing. Right. I'm pretty much working so he can have a 21-year-old birthday party in Vegas. Right. And he's in the back with some girl just drinking, but like kind of like
a shy, and
like
scared.
Shy drinking and scared. Right, right. Next thing I know, I'm like, I get done. I'm like, where's my son? Uh-huh. Like, I said, oh, he left with your buddy. They went to a strip club. I was like, he took him to the strip club. So I get to the strip club and I'm looking for him. And as I go in, I run into one of the owners of the Memphis Grizzlies, his own young guy, just bought the Grizzlies or something like that. I was like, I stop and talk to him. And I'm like, I forgot I was there to find my son, right? So I was surprised to see one of the owners of the NBA team.
Start doing shots with him.
Yeah. And finally, I go to the back of the club, and he has been literally dragged to the back in a chair like what you're sitting in, right? He's so hammered. And I literally pull up, and there's a girl giving him a lap dance, and there's another girl rifling through his wallet.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally rifling through his wallet. And I go, hey, whoa, hold on. Like, you know, come on. Like, grab the wallet. I'm telling him, like, did he pay you? Like, I'll give you some money. And grab him, take him out. And I have a photo to this day of him sitting outside the strip club, Sapphire in Vegas, literally laying on the ground against a garbage can with his head back, like, and a plastic bag in his hand.
You gotta put that up when he gets married one day.
I totally took it. He remembers it.
I remember I pulled a stripper out of Sapphire's years ago, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
13, 14 years ago.
Wow.
I don't know how I kicked game to her. I kicked game to her all night. I even paid her for the dances and everything. And I didn't really get dances. We were just talking. But you still got to pay them to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, well, I was like 5:45. And I'm like, I'm going to leave. She goes, I finish it. I left at 5:30. She goes, I finish in half an hour. Do you want to meet up? And I'm like, sure. She came to the hotel, smashed. And I was like, awesome. My fucking game is good. And then the next day, the next evening, I was like, hey, I'm going to the AVN Awards. You want to come with me? She goes, well, I got to work. And I go, fuck it. Just come. She's like, well, you'd have to buy me out of work. I go, well, what do you mean? She goes, I'm going to lose money. You'd have to give me, I go, how much? I go, $500? She's like, no, like $1,500. I go, I got the pussy for free. You can go to work, bitch. I ain't fucking, I'm not a mark.
When I first moved to LA, I dated a stripper. I met beautiful girl, right? So we had like 2 or 3 dates. So she comes over to my house. I put on some music and had a strobe light. Right, so I'm putting my strobe light, make my head space. You know,
and it was good.
Make her feel at home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so she's completely naked. She's stripping. She's dancing. So and I've already been with her. So I pull down my pants and I, you know, do that. And she's like, well, you can't do that. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I put it back. I'm like, wait a second. This is my house. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. My bad. And she just instinctively told me I couldn't do that because, you know, work. Her rules.
Her rules. You're on my home court.
Yeah. But that's got to be the rules. Same. Got to be the same thing when you invite a stripper to your house and she starts stripping. It's got to be the equivalent to when somebody invites you to their house. Like, can you perform?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, really?
I didn't even ask her. She was doing it.
I mean, I'm not high on the personality schedule, you know what I mean?
Last time I had a stripper conversation, I tried to hire strippers for my sister's fiance at the time. They were getting married. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to hire strippers in the Bahamas because I was here in L.A. And there's no strippers in the Bahamas that I knew of, right?
Right.
We don't have strip clubs. But I figured, okay, I would hire some strippers and fly them there. And this turned into such an ordeal. Oh my goodness. It became international water issues and you're not, you know, it's going to be on a boat and it's like the price tripled and I was like,
oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it was the strangest thing.
But it was like buying hookers at that point.
Basically, is what it was. I was like, no, I just want to have like a bachelor party for my brother-in-law, right? Long story short, when I tell you, when they started sending me photos of the quote unquote strippers, mm-hmm. they had to be prostitutes, but they probably were the most beautiful women I've seen in all of LA.
Nice.
And in my mind, I went, this is an underbelly. It blew my mind. This was about 15 years ago. Blew my mind. I had no idea that the level of women, mm-hmm. how attractive they were.
Oh yeah, there's a whole thing out there.
Yeah.
And you'll meet them. I dated this girl. I won't say who she was. I dated her years ago. Stunning, beautiful. And she didn't really work, but she always had really expensive things. Mm. Like expensive, like $4,000 or $5,000 purses and $1,000 shoes and $200,000 car. And I'm like, where the fuck are you getting all this money from? She goes, oh, you know, I got, and I made investments. I'm like, no, bitch, you didn't. And then I'm like, there's no way she wasn't a high-end escort.
Yeah.
I was, but I'm like, there's, but then that, again, man. I was like, there's no way she is because she was a lousy fuck. Beautiful, stunning, terrible in bed. Horrible. I was like, Jesus, this is it? It was all a show. And I was like, maybe you are a prostitute, because it was always like, ooh. And I'm like, bitch, I know you're not enjoying this like that, because I'm not enjoying this like that. There's no way you're connecting at another level than I'm not connecting at. I was like, this is terrible.
It's all a show.
All right, well, this concludes today's episode of Culturally Canceled.
I ain't leaving.
Well, Rick Fox is living with me now. We had Rick Fox here. We had Joey Medina. Thanks for coming today, Joe. This was fun.
Dude, thanks for asking me. This is good, man. I love, last time we did a podcast together was my podcast.
I know. It was about four houses ago. So.
Yeah, four houses. A while ago.
That's been minimally five years. So it's about 6 years since we last did a podcast together. So thanks for coming through, Joseph. I appreciate you, pal. And you know, we hang out anyway, so I'll see you then.
Yeah, so this was just another conversation, but with microphones.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, basically. And what's your Instagram?
Joey Medina Comic. At Joey Medina Comic. Hit me up there.
Hit up Joey Medina. Give him a follow at Joey Medina Comic.
Thank you.
And thanks, Rico. What do you got coming up? Anything you want to talk about or you want to promote or anything you want us to look out for?
I need some advice. I'm about to go potentially up to Vancouver to shoot a movie, but it's required quarantine for 14 days.
Yep. It's Canadian law.
But they're not messing around.
Like, no, they do not. They check on you.
You cannot leave the hotel room.
Correct.
My Vanessa's brother's there. He's shooting Upload, the second season of it. And he's
documenting. You know what's funny is I did not know that was her brother.
Yeah, Chris Williams.
Crazy Eyes Killer.
Yeah.
I've known him for a while.
He's in the Friday movies. Like, yeah, he's done a ton of stuff.
I only just, like, maybe a couple of weeks ago realized he was her brother.
Yeah. I'm like, sure is.
They don't look anything alike. I mean, I guess they both got green eyes.
They got the eyes. But he's up there, man. Literally, he did 20. I don't know how he did this. He did 20 miles walking around in a circle in his hotel room yesterday.
Did they give him a suite?
He's got a little bit of room, but not a lot.
Yeah.
For 14 days, man.
And you can. How do you get food?
He said, make sure you do your grocery shopping before.
Really?
That's what he's giving me all the tips. And I'm thinking to myself,
they don't do room service?
I think I'm going to tell the producers I need a house or something.
Will they allow
that? Like, can you,
I don't know.
Can
I don't know.
Quarantine
know.
In a, in you a can. Rented house?
You just have to be in one place.
Right. And
not
they check
to,
on you every yeah, day.
They check on you.
They check your temperature.
I don't know if it's daily, but definitely they check on you. But I'm pretty sure the producer can tell you, nope, you're going to have to be in the hotel. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what your clout is with this production, so. Right. It really is about clout.
I've done six of these in a series with Holly Robinson Pete, and they're gonna try and make a couple more of them. So, I love going up to Vancouver. I love it.
Usually
in and out in 15 days, but this will be a little longer. This will be like a 6 week stint.
It'll be a 6 week, 2 week shoot.
Yeah, which is incredible these days. I went on All Rise, so I'm on the show All Rise, which is on CBS on Mondays. But I tell you, man, shooting on a Warner Brothers lot these days, the protocol is immense. I mean, you get tested every day.
That's good, though.
I mean, it's good
for your own peace of mind.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I would say that. But it's also anxiety-inducing when you're trying to do the work. You know, it's like, imagine having to be funny and someone's basically standing there with a swab looking at you. Don't touch that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look there. Put your mask on. Like, you know, tell jokes through the plexiglass. Like,
I had to do a reshoot for something I did for Paramount. And when I was there, we had to wear our masks until they yelled action.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, this is awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't really get into character.
No, there is no character. COVID lives in these shows now. Which is, you can tell some of these shows are shot in the COVID era versus not. And the show All Rise, which is a legal show, chose to actually incorporate it into the show.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
At least they're not ignoring real life.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's good.
When can I come watch it? When are we going to work again together?
Whenever you want, dog.
Man, shit.
I got something
we got enough between the two of us to create a whole show, a movie, a series, do something funny.
You and I should do Twins, a remake of Twins.
Yeah, shit.
You'd be Schwarzenegger, I'd be Danny DeVito. You ain't gonna walk in your no more. You remember when he had the Walkman on and listen to Yakety Yak? You ain't gonna walk in your no more.
It's always good to see you, though, man. Thank you for including me on the podcast in the early days before it blows up and it's massive and then I can't get on again.
Oh, you can get on anytime you want.
All right, brother.
You know me better than that.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Rico Coyote. That's his street name. Otherwise, you know him as Rick Fox.
Yes.
What does your mom call you?
Ulrich.
Does she call you Ulrich?
Ulrich Jr.
Did she get a Bahamian accent by now?
No, you would think, right? You spent 40 years in the Bahamas, you would like at least...
A twang or a way of saying things.
No,
she's like ting? She doesn't say ting or nothing?
She don't say none of that. She kept the Canadian through and through.
Oh, that's pride.
Yeah.
She's got to hang on to something. My mom left India when she was 23. She's 79 now, and she still has an Indian accent. I'm like, come on, dude. And it's getting stronger. I think as you get older, the accent gets stronger. It comes back to you.
Wow.
You revert back.
Wow. As you get closer to the end, huh? Man.
Wow.
I met your mom. She's amazing. Your mom. No, your mom.
As you get closer to the end, while you're on death's door.
No, I was just thinking, I met your mom, which is like, it's. I love meeting my friends' parents.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really, it's enjoyable to watch my friends around their parents. Because
we can't be the same person.
No. You see
go right
friends,
back to who you are.
Yeah, you see your friends, the youth in your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
I try to give my mom sass, but she doesn't.
She
takes it, but she like, listen, stupid, I know who you are.
Yeah.
You're not the guy people think you are.
So I keep all my friends away from my mom.
Yeah, you don't want them to see Ulrich.
Yeah, no, not
Hi,
at all.
Hi, mommy.
Hi, mom. Mommy, they're very Canadian. Mommy.
Mommy.
Yeah, mommy.
Mommy. Mom. Anyway, that's this episode of Culturally Canceled. Tune in next time when we have somebody else here.
Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Culturally Canceled. If you want to see me live anywhere, you can go check out russellpeters.com and see where I'm at. If you don't want to see me or talk to me, just listen to me on my podcast. I'll be here. You'll be here. I won't know you're here, but I'm hoping you're here. Anyway, check me out.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.